Hello, welcome to another episode on the Containers channel. I'm Matt McSpirit, technical evangelist for all of our data center stuff, and I'm joined again by Neil Peterson, who's a content developer in our container space. Continuing the series on containers fundamentals, I'm going to continue this series by focusing in this particular episode on Hyper-V containers. So tell us a bit more about Hyper-V containers and what we need to know.
Sure. So thanks a lot, Matt. So what we're going to do here is take a look at what a Hyper-V container is. But before jumping into some demos, just some real quick blurbs on it. At TP3, we released Windows Server containers. Mm-hmm. And a Windows Server container, it basically shares the kernel mm-hmm. with the container host.
Right.
Isolation is created through a series of process namespace and network isolation technologies. Hyper-V containers, which were released with TP4, really expand on what we have with Windows Server containers, providing an extra layer of isolation by essentially encapsulating the container in a super optimized virtual machine,
right.
Hence the Hyper-V containers.
Right. So when you mentioned before container host, you were referring to that could be a physical machine or it could be a virtual machine. That's just the OS that is essentially supporting and running all of these different containers.
Yep, absolutely.
Right. Okay, and now we've got these two different types, Windows Server containers, that was Technical Preview 3 for Windows Server 2016, and then Hyper-V containers, which was Technical Preview 4 for 2016.
Yep.
Right, okay.
Yep, absolutely. So, I mean, that's the very simple explanation of what a Windows Server container is and a Hyper-V container. Mm-hmm. What I wanted to do was just jump in and take a look at the two of them and compare and contrast.
That sounds good. Yeah, let's take a look.
Okay, so I've got basically three small demos that we're going to do. The first thing we're going to do is create a Windows Server container and really kind of look at it from a container host perspective, look at the processes that are running on the host, relate those back to the container itself, mm-hmm. and then we'll do the exact same thing with a Hyper-V container and kind of look at the differences there.
Right.
As well, I'm going to be doing most of these with PowerShell,
yep.
But we'll see this with PowerShell and Docker.
Mm-hmm.
And then finally, we'll take a quick look at creating a Windows Server container
yep.
and then converting that container to a Hyper-V container.
So you mentioned there briefly, we're going to do some stuff with PowerShell, and then we're going to do some stuff with Docker as well. One of the questions we got on one of the episodes was, not trying to put you on the spot, but when should I be using one over the other? Is it that kind of decision I should be making? Can you give us a bit of a 10,000 foot view of what people should be thinking around? Do I use PowerShell? Do I use Docker?
Sure, absolutely. I mean, I'll do my best. So
yep.
it's still early days here, you know, so
yep.
we're still in preview. But you know, working with containers in PowerShell gives you that PowerShell experience. In fact, mm-hmm. we'll see a lot of that here, where I've written scripts to kind of spin up multiple containers and do what I want with these containers using a language that I'm familiar with. Being a Windows guy, I've got the background with PowerShell, and it's just kind of a natural thing for me.
Yeah.
As well, we've got this, you know, Docker's been around for a while. They've got tooling around managing containers that's mm-hmm. very well thought out and established. We have those capabilities with Windows Server and Hyper-V containers as well. So,
right.
I mean, really, it's just choosing which management experience works best for you.
So perhaps if you're coming at this from a complete vanilla, I've never used Docker, you might find that PowerShell gives you what you need. But then the Docker tool set is, as you said, a little bit more mature. It does have further reaches beyond what we can deliver in PowerShell today, especially around Linux.
Yep.
So therefore, you may have more capability. But for Windows Server containers, they're not too far off.
Not too far off.
That's what we can do.
Okay. Yep.
So you'll see there's some of the subtle differences as we go through as well with when Neil's demoing, and we've seen that in some of our previous demos as well. So take us through that first demo. What are we looking at here?
Yeah, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to create a Windows Server container.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I've got all the PowerShell ready to go.
Yeah.
So I'm going to create a new container for my Windows Server core image.
Yeah, and people should be familiar with this from earlier videos when we just did the generic Windows Server container creation.
Yep, yep. Absolutely. I won't go through a lot of the details here, mm-hmm. But definitely pick up on some of the earlier videos.
Yep.
I'm then going to start that container. And then what I'm going to do is I'm going to start a process within that container. So mm-hmm. I'm running invoke command against the container, and basically I'm going to run ping localhost.
Right.
So I'm just going to start a ping process that stays running.
Yeah, but that could be anything. That could be
yep.
a fancy script. It could be some kind of service that needs to start, whatever
yep.
it may be.
Absolutely. So while this starts up, and just to set a little context, I'm working here on the container host. So we are on the container host right now. Mm-hmm. I just started a container on the host that we're working on.
Right.
So now if I'm going to go ahead and minimize this, and looking at the host, if we scroll through here, we'll notice that we see a process, ping.exe, running.
Right.
So on the container host, we see this process.
Yep.
What I'm also going to do...
Even though that's executing within the container?
Within the container.
Okay.
Yep. And this is where we're going to see the differences.
Right.
I mean, the very obvious differences between a Windows Server container and Hyper-V container.
Okay.
So I'm going to actually enter into a session within this container. So you can see here, I've got a remote PowerShell session inside the container.
And the reason it says ping there is because you called the container.
Yeah, because I called the container ping.
Yep.
And if I run git process, it's taking some time there.
I sometimes find that as well, that tab complete in PowerShell just, there you go.
Yep.
I just filled enough time for you there.
Sure. So from within the view of the container, we can also see a process ping. And you can see here the process ID is 4556, which matches the process ID that we're seeing from the view of the host. In fact, I can actually, from the host here, crash this process. And it will drop us out. And then if I do git process again.
It's gone.
It's gone.
There you go.
So here you can kind of see that shared kernel. I mean, there's isolation happening here, but we're still exposing some of this stuff to the container host.
Mm-hmm.
So to, as we talked about, Hyper-V containers change this up quite a bit.
Yeah.
So instead of having the shared kernel architecture, we're now going to put a container inside of a virtual machine, a highly optimized virtual machine.
But that's not something that I or you as the administrator has to do. You know, I don't have to go to Hyper-V Manager, create special VM, load, boot it up, and then inside that start creating a container that is therefore encapsulated overall within a new VM. I don't have to worry about that.
Yep, absolutely. And that's the great thing about it.
Right.
In fact, the management experience is identical.
Okay.
Short of one small switch, which we'll take a look at here.
Okay, great.
So I'm actually going to go ahead and fire this up, and then I'll talk about what we're doing here. And what we'll see is there's not that many differences. So again, I'm running new container, giving the container a name, Hype-V here. Selecting a container image, you'll notice here that I'm, I've selected the NanoServer image.
That's the base image for this container.
Base image for this container. So at TP4, Hyper-V containers need to be running a base image of NanoServer.
Okay, great.
And then here's the switch that indicates that this will be a Hyper-V container.
Right.
So we're selecting runtime Hyper-V. And that's basically it. I mean, that's the big difference right there.
Mm-hmm.
Difference between a Windows Server container and Hyper-V container is
at
selecting
least
the runtime.
At least from a deployment perspective.
Sure, sure, absolutely.
Yep.
And then, as we can see, I've started the container and then done the exact same thing. So
right.
I'm invoking a command, ping localhost-t, just to keep that process up and running.
Right.
So we'll do the same thing. I'm going to pop over here to the host. What we'll notice is now I do not see the ping process.
Okay.
So since that container is encapsulated in that highly optimized virtual machine, it's all inside of there.
Right.
There are a couple things, though, that we can see. So if I do git container, select star, we'll see here I've got a container ID.
Mm-hmm.
If I scroll down here on the host in my list of processes, notice that we have a VM worker process. So this is that Hyper-V process representing a virtual machine.
Mm-hmm.
And if we look at the username, we can see that the username on this VM worker process matches the ID of the container. So I mean, there is a way to correlate my Hyper-V container to a process on the host,
mm-hmm.
but we don't see those processes that were running within the container.
And in addition, I suppose you wouldn't see this in Hyper-V Manager either.
Nope.
Even though it is a VM, technically.
Yep, absolutely, yeah.
Right.
It's hidden from there. Now, if we jump into the container itself, what we'll see once we get into the container is that ping process is running.
Okay.
There it is.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, just a quick example of looking at a Windows Server container, looking at a Hyper-V container and kind of how they differ from the perspective of a host.
So the big benefit here from if you were, for instance, a service provider or if you were concerned about running workloads in containers in perhaps a shared or multi-tenant environment where your workload may be a lot more sensitive than ping, you using a Hyper-V container gives you that extra level of isolation, the hardware isolation that a VM brings, and yet still the benefit and portability of a container itself.
Yep, absolutely.
And you haven't needed to manage it necessarily any differently apart from that one switch that we went through.
Yep, absolutely. And to that point, so that was an example of doing it with PowerShell. Mm-hmm. We've got the same capabilities with Docker. I'm just gonna grab this. So here I'm standard Docker run command.
Yep.
Docker run dash IT is going to start an interactive session.
Yep.
And here's the switch that we're looking at here. So isolation equals Hyper-V.
Right.
And then I've got the ID of the image I want to run, which is the nano server image. Mm-hmm. And then I'm starting a command shell. So if we run this, again, you can actually see that we just had another VM worker process fire up.
Right.
So that, you know, Hyper-V container has been created.
Right. So regardless of whether you're doing it through Docker or through PowerShell, the end goal, the end result is still the same. And I suppose one difference here is you've now you've been put into the command line view here in Docker because that was the command you specified, run first upon launch. Yeah. Nice.
So one last thing that's kind of neat about Windows Server Container and Hyper-V containers, and we talked about the management experience is identical between the two, and it really is. But to that point, we can take a Windows Server container, develop it up, you know, get it working, and actually convert that to a Hyper-V container.
So if I'm a developer and I'm building an application that I'm going to package in a container, deploy it in a Windows Server, perhaps in my testing environment, if it needs to live in a more isolated environment in the wild, I don't have to change my app.
Exactly.
Okay, cool.
So let's see an example of that. So what I have here is a nano server container host. And you can see the IP address here. Mm-hmm. And as we know, we don't have local log on to nano server. So from my laptop, I've got two PowerShell sessions created with that nano server container host.
Okay.
And just like I did before, I've got some scripts already built for this. So the first script, I'm going to create a container. So new container, name ping, container image, nano server, switch name. I'm assigning it to a switch.
Yep.
I'm going to start the ping process. Or I'm sorry, I'm going to start the container and then run the ping process, just like we saw before. So again, creating a Windows Server container on a nano server host. And it's starting the container now.
So that would be a, even though it's a Windows Server container, it's still a nano-based Windows Server.
Yes, it's still
container.
A nano-based image. So at TP4, there are some limitations on what base OS image can run on what host OS.
Yep.
And so from the host, if I run git process, we can see there's my ping process. So Windows Server container process is exposed to the host.
Yep.
So now, instead of tearing this container down and creating a new one, we're going to actually just take the exact same container. So if I do a git container, there's my container. It's got a name of ping.
Yep.
So I've got another script in here, demo2. I'm running type, which just returns the text of the script to the screen.
Yep.
So I'm going to stop the container. And now I'm going to run a command set container ping, and I'm going to set the runtime to be Hyper-V.
Ping being the name of the container.
Ping being the name of the container, yes. Start the container, and then again, I'm going to do the same exact thing. Yeah. I'm going to invoke the command and start the ping process up again.
So if all goes well, what we should see on the right is when you next get process, that ping would disappear.
Yes.
Because we've stopped that container where it was running, and you won't see it now that it's encapsulated within a Hyper-V container.
And not only that, we'll see a VM worker process startup.
Yeah, there you go.
And actually what you'll see is this process list will decrease quite a bit because what we're seeing here is the processes from the host and the process from the running container.
Right.
So I'll go ahead and run this script, which is going to stop it, do the conversion, start it back up. Git process. We can see my list has decreased quite a bit. Mm-hmm. There's that VM worker process started up, and that's it.
Cool. So what we've seen there is how easily you can traverse between a regular Windows Server container, regardless of Nano in this case, between that and a Hyper-V container. We've shown how easy it is to create new Windows Server containers and new Hyper-V-based containers. Easy stuff, and it's all in the documentation that people can learn more as well.
Yep, absolutely.
Okay, so that wraps up this particular episode on the Containers Channel for Containers Fundamentals. So hopefully you've enjoyed it. Check out the resources and you can get loads more information. Download the technical preview to play with it yourself. You can even run it in Azure. So loads of learning you can do there. And join us again in the future for another episode on the Containers Channel. Thanks.
Thanks, Matt.